You know, some of these guys come to church here. And I don't really know what to say except that I just feel God saying that, you know, if there's a ministry that we can pray for or we can support, or we want to see you blossom. We want to see you guys use your gifts. Next week, Paul's going to share a little bit of his story. He's another student from Red Deer College. And, you know, it's, I'll be honest with you, that sometimes I see you guys coming to church and I just shake my head. I go, well, what is, why would they come here, you know? And I think it's so cool that you do. We really need you guys, and we wanna just partner together. We wanna be part of the same body. We wanna see things happening at Red Deer College. I've had a couple of my own kids that went there for a year or two before they went on, and it's not an easy place to be, but there needs to be a strong Christian witness, that we need to shine a light in that place. But I also think that there's such potential there. It is such potential. There's so many people. So many of these young guys and girls who have such potential, and they're hungry. There's a real hunger. They're searching for all kinds of things, and they're not going to find it in the Far Side Lounge. And they're not going to find it there. They need to find it in Jesus. So I would be really happy today if we could just pray for each other, if I could pray for you and if you'd pray for me, and we could just continue to ask God to work and to move and to transform. He's a redeeming God. He can redeem Red Deer College, and I believe that he wants to do that. Amen? So thank you, God, I thank you for Tim, and I thank you for the ministry that you call him to, and I thank you for the way you've delivered him. And he speaks Lord so well, and I just know it's your Holy Spirit in him, and I thank you for that. And I pray for him and Paul and Shane and others, God, who are working hard to be a light that shines there. God, let that be. Just let that be. I pray that your Spirit will move and encourage them. Help them to hear from you and to know when to speak and when not to speak, God. I pray that you will enhance their ministry and the gifts that you've given them, Lord. And we will see many dozens and hundreds even turning to you, Jesus. We believe you can do that, God. Lord, I believe that you have a heart for those young men and women, and they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost and they're harassed by this world. They need to see the light. Lord, make your light shine. I pray for Christian professors who are there that you will help them to stand up for you, and for other Christian students to rally together, that will be a mighty work of God. There'll be a mighty work of God happening there, God. Thank you, Lord. We bless this man. I thank you for the glory of God that I see in him, for that currency of glory that is evident. It's tangible. It's authentic. Thank you, Jesus. That's a special thing. This is a special moment. And I just glorify in your name too, God. Thank you.
And Father, thank you so much for Stan. Thank you that you so faithfully speak through him and you use him in our lives. And this is a very unique church that you've built here.
Yes, God.
And we worship you for it. And we pray that today you'll teach us to enter rest today. And you'll make today count.
Yeah.
By your Spirit, for your glory, and you'll open our ears, and you'll change us and make us more like you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Elvin, I'm just going to invite you to come up and say a little bit about Solid Ground. You got a fan club.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Potter's Hands is involved in a lot of work in the city of Red Deer. Their influence is expanding slowly but surely in the city of Red Deer. And, you know, I pray that all of us here are desirous of that. We want to see not only the Potter's Hands, we want to see the kingdom of God expand in the city of Red Deer. Amen? We want to see Jesus lifted up, high and lifted up. I believe that Christianity has a greater influence than we see right now. Amen? And so in order for that to take place, men and women have to rise up. You must rise up. There's giftings that are inside of us, in each of us here, that, you know, want us or encourage us to rise up. Hallelujah. You know, greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen? So the world would want to squish us and keep us down and underfoot. But, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, rise up into the full potential that God has allowed you to be born for. Okay? And thus, saying that, Solid Ground Cafe is a ministry started about a year and a half ago, and Colleen Marcus is looking after that. She's the heading that up. We have three people that are paid there, servers, and Colleen as well. But it's been going on, and basically what it is a place where people can meet and have a coffee with people. If you have a heart for the lost, this is a good place to come. Just hang out there. If you got nothing to do on a certain day, just come and hang out there. Talk to the people. Buy them a coffee or whatever the case may be. And if you want to serve, if you want to volunteer your time, you're more than welcome to come over there and do that. They're open to stuff like that. But we want to see it grow and expand. And we're kind of at a crossroads and where hallelujah. You know, we need some input. We need some input from people like yourselves, people with marketing skills, people with vision, you know, could see what could happen there, eh? So, you know, if you're in that place right now, just come and talk to myself or the leadership here, Pastor Stan or whatever, and you're more than welcome to come and help and be a part of that ministry as well. Now, the offshoot from the Solid Ground Ministry is the Lazarus House, which is a discipleship, faith-based ministry, and it's right beside the Club Cafe, right above, we got the Buffalo Hotel and Club Cafe, but it's upstairs. We renovated the place up, and we have some bedrooms up there, and we have some men there that we're discipling, and sometimes it gets very discouraging. And so we covet your prayers for that, okay? A lot of times you think, oh, well, you know, everything is just running tickety-boo. Well, it's not. It's faith-based. And so I just encourage us, you know, pray for the ministry, pray for the impact of Potter's Hands in the city of Red Deer. You know, not for the sake of the kingdom of Potter's Hands, but what it stands for. Amen? We want to impact the people's lives in this city. You know, I want to see people, lifted up and have their addictions dealt with. I mean, I've heard of cases out in New York City where heroin addicts have been delivered by the Spirit of God, just completely set free. Amen? And that can happen here as well, and it has happened. There's, you know, some of you I can point out, but, you know, God has set you free. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're praying for, that we can impact this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Each life here, hallelujah, has a responsibility. Has a responsibility. God, at the end of days here, God has chosen each of us one by one. Basically, you're a seed. You're a seed. So he's planted you in the city of Red Deer, okay? But what, you know, if you plant an apple seed or an orange seed or whatever, what are you hoping to get? You're hoping to get a crop, amen? So you guys are seeds. So we're expecting a big crop. Amen? A massive crop. So if everybody does his work, does his part, okay, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a mighty crop in the city of Red Deer and throughout central Alberta. Amen? So to Lazarus House, so pray for that. Scotty's heading that up. We've had some people come in there. We've had some success stories and not so successful stories, but at least we're making an effort. Amen? So pray for our brother Scotty. As he's the head leader there, house, and we're looking at getting a second stage house as well so that people can move from there over to the second stage house and then work as well from there and work in the community. But basically, Lazarus House is a four-month setup where the first month you're like this with the house leader. You can't go to the bathroom. Well, I guess you could go to the bathroom without him, but, you know, like this. Amen? And every place you go, so he's there, okay? But you got to realize it's faith-based. And then for the next 3 months, you're being trained up with the keys from a ministry that we've brought in from Langley, BC, or down on the lower mainland there anyway. And there we're taught, the disciples are taught, you know, various things in their lives and how Jesus Christ, hallelujah, can give us the victory, you know, over addictions, whatever the case may be. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. To every situation that you find yourself in, whatever it may be, hallelujah, whatever mountain that you see yourself in front of, hallelujah, Jesus has defeated that mountain. Amen? By the power of His Spirit, by the cross, by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't know that, you can walk throughout your Christian life and basically live a defeated Christian life. But Jesus is not in, you know, otherwise his sacrifice is for nothing. But I don't believe it is. I know in my case, He has set me free for so many things. So, by the power of His Spirit. And if He's done it for me, He can do it for the rest of us and for those people on the streets as well. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, we just encourage your prayers for the ministry and for Potter's Hands that this here will continue to flourish in Central Alberta and we'll see thousands of souls brought into His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So we're, hey Jeff, can you just turn that down? Sorry. I feel like I'm on a radio in some car far away. We're talking about a crop. We're talking about, you know, the fruit that comes. And I think the word that Alvin was looking for was schwack. We need a schwack of fruit. Tim taught us that word. That's a good word. And we need a schwack of prayer. We need to be praying up a storm. For people, there are so many people who are lost on the streets, and that's not just on the streets. They're lost in Anders on the Lake, and they're lost in Victoria Park. They're lost in Rosedale. People are lost, and we have something to share with people. And that is the good news of Christ, and He's right that is a responsibility that lies on each one of us, not just on the leaders of this church. It lies on each of us because God's given us His good word. What an amazing God! God is so amazing. He's so powerful. I just want to share one good story today. That's that last Sunday we prayed for April. And April, they had to take a big, long rod out of her back. And April always sits in the front here. And she went in for surgery, and there was a really good chance that she was going to be quadriplegic, if not a paraplegic. But they had no choice anymore. They had to pull that rod out of her back. And Rose phoned me and said that the surgery went so well, right? You want to say anything about that?
Called me up. God's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
First, he had called her mom and told her mom that she'd rather go up to heaven because she didn't want to suffer with no more pain. But then yesterday morning, she called her mom and she goes, "Oh, mom, I changed my mind." But they went in, two vertebrae had healed on their own.
Mm.
They took the rod out of her back. It was a 3-hour surgery. And half hour after the surgery, amazingly, God's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She got up out of that bed and she walked outside.
Thank you, God. Amen. God bless.
Woo-hoo!
My God is mighty to save. Amen. Okay, let's hear God's word today. Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel 18. Still in Samuel, and there's going to be a few more of these, if you're wondering. And if you want to know how many, ask God. I don't know. But we're going to just kind of touch on some more of the themes to try to finish the story of 1 Samuel and tie it into not just Samuel, but the rest of the scriptures and really see the focus on Jesus and focus on what God has been doing. We've looked at the whole story of Samuel for a number of months already and lately just talking about David and Goliath and defeating the giants that we have in our lives. And not only defeating them, but cutting off the head of the giant, you know, being sure that we are done, that it's finished, it's complete, that there's no doubt about it anymore. The giant is dead. He's gone. That pornography or that addiction, whatever it is, it needs to be cut off completely. No more fooling around. No more playing with the line, you know, where you think, well, I can just get close to it. I know I shouldn't step over the line, but I can get close to it. No more playing with the line. We cut off the head of the giant because that's the only place where victory is. It's through what Christ has done. Amen. So read with me Samuel 18, and we read about, you know, the funny thing is how quickly things change. And I think we find that sometimes in our own lives. Things are going really good, and the next day it can be totally different. Well, man, if you're David, that's exactly what happens. In chapter 17, he is the hero, and he has defeated Goliath. He has done what no other man in the army was willing to do. He is the one that they're shouting the praises of. Way to go, David. But now we're going to find out that Saul is going to be jealous, and he's going to chase after him because of that anger that he has. 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, remember that Saul had that question, where is this from? Where is this boy from? He says, I'm your servant Jesse of Bethlehem, and how that connected to Jesus Christ, who's also from Bethlehem. Well, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him, did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. And when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines. Some of you would fit right in here. With joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes, they danced and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that day on, or from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit, isn't this funny? Isn't this telling? Not funny. It's telling that as soon as Saul allows this to happen in his life, that the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. And yes, sometimes God will send a spirit to inflict us. If we leave ourselves vulnerable by allowing that sin, that jealousy, that weakness in us. It's amazing. I didn't make this up. But the next day, you know, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing a harp. And as he usually did, Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. I don't know why twice. After the first time, I'd have been out of there. But David eluded him twice. Someone's throwing a spear at you, you get out. But not David. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David. You get that? But he had left Saul. And so he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. And everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Amen. That's as far as we're going to read. The one line that really sticks out for me when I read this story is the line in verse 9. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. From that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye. What does a jealous eye look like? I know what pink eye looks like. I know what the evil eye looks like. You know, I get that once in a while. I used to get it from my dad. But what is a jealous eye? You know, what is this? Where is this jealousy? Where is this jealousy? Where does it come from? And it's just described in the scriptures that Saul had a jealous eye towards David. Saul had a jealous eye. And, you know, when we look at the scripture and we look at the whole story of the Bible, we find that jealousy is something that's really afflicted the church and afflicted God's people probably from the very beginning. That even if you read carefully in Isaiah, and I believe it's Isaiah 14, we get a bit of the story of how Satan fell from heaven. One of the reasons, maybe the main reason why he fell from heaven is because Satan was jealous of God. Satan wanted God's throne. It's really what it says. And it says in that passage, I will take that throne. I will dethrone you as God. Because he's prideful, and being prideful and being jealous, those things are connected. Satan fell partly because of his jealousy. He wanted to have God's throne. And that sin of jealousy has been transmitted to us from the very beginning. That pride and that jealousy, you know, some of it crops up in our lives too. It's something that's affected the Christian church. It's affected followers of God all the way back from the time of Adam and Eve. You know, in Jesus' day, when he walked through Palestine, when he was teaching and doing miracles, and he walked with his disciples, we're given a story that his disciples one time were having an argument about which one was the greatest. And it's probably a good thing that we're not really told about the whole discussion. We're just given the facts. They were arguing about who was the greatest. I wonder how that would have went, you know? One of them saying, you know, I think I'm more important than you are. I think Jesus likes me better than he likes you, Simon, you know, or Judas. I wonder what that discussion, you know, I think I'm more valuable in the kingdom. I think that Jesus, I'm his favorite, you know. They argued, of all things, about who would be the greatest. And when Jesus found out about that, he said to them, if anyone wants to be the first, he must be the very last. He must be the servant of all. They were jealous of each other. They were jealous of the position. We know that Jesus often took Peter, James, and John with him, you know, and had some special times with them. And I'm just inferring here, but I'm guessing that there was some jealousy sometimes. I'm guessing that among those 12 disciples, there was some tension. There was some jealousy. There were some who wanted to be, I want to be in that position where you are. How do you get to sit next to Jesus? Why are you the one that gets to be beside him? I want to be beside him. Jealousy, that's what it does. And it destroys and it affects our walk with God, and it affects the church. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to read this passage that Paul writes to the early church. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual. You're not spiritual. I address you as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. You're not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is, now get this, since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? And that was the problem in the church in Corinth, is that they were siding against each other. And by the way, it's become a big problem over the years for the church. We side against each other. You know, I'm with Paul. I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. You know, I'm on this guy's side. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Lutheran. You know, we pick the team that we want to be on. And not only do we promote the team that we're on, but then we put the other team down and we become jealous and we become envious of each other and each other's groups. And I guess the point I'm just trying to start with is that this whole idea, the whole sin of jealousy isn't new. It's been from the very beginning, but it has left a very black mark on the church that we're a part of today. And it's left us with, and I had a discussion this week, as a matter of fact, I walked my dog in the dog park. I don't really walk the dog, I let him run all over the place. But I walked with some people, and it's kind of a cool way to do evangelism because you got nothing else to do but to talk with them. And the guys, they know I'm a pastor, and we're just chit-chatting and having a good time and talking about the church this week, wanting to know what kind of church we have, and why do you Christians always fight? Why are you always against each other? You know, and all I could do, this guy's name is Al, pray for Al. All I could do is say, Al, I just agree with you. I know. I know that we've set a real bad example. I know that there's a lot of disunity. I understand that, Al. But all I can tell you is don't look to me. Don't look at man. Look to God. Man will let you down. The church will let you down. It's not hard to find examples where we've really been disappointing. And even in this city, there's lots of examples where we just won't work together. I'm sorry about that, Al. I said that to him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's what it looks like, and what it looks like isn't too far off from what it really is. But look to God, because God's one God. He's united, and that's not what he wants. What God wants is he wants us to work together. He wants us to recognize the gifts in each other. He wants us to support and encourage each other. And he's listening. He's listening. He's hearing that. I want to speak the truth today about the jealous eye and what that jealous eye is. And I got a sense that there's a lot of us who go, you know, I'm involved in this, and here's the sin in my life, and sometimes I swear, and sometimes I do this, but I'm not that jealous. You know, jealous really, that's not a problem I've got. I got a sense that maybe we're not understanding, we're not really seeing where our hearts are. But maybe there's more jealousy and pride in our hearts than what we care to admit. I want to say two things about the jealous eye and where it comes from today. I'm going to tell you where we're going so that you know, because I want you to be able to leave today and remember this. That I'm going to say this, that the jealous eye, if we are inflicted with what the scriptures call the jealous eye, it's because of two reasons. The one is because we are listening to the people's song. I'll explain that. Because we listen to the people's song, and the second is because we listen to the inside voice that's in us. Okay, so just follow that. First of all, we get stricken with jealous eye when we listen to the people's song. And truly, that's what was happening in this passage with Saul. Everything was going really good, actually. I mean, until the women came to the road and started to sing that song, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Until that song was sung, Saul was doing just fine, as a matter of fact. He liked David. He even promoted David. We're told that he was promoted to become one of the high officials in the army. Saul promoted David. Everything was going just great until he heard the people's song. Until he heard them singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And he started to think, well, what does that mean? Why would they sing that? You know, why is David killing 10,000 and I'm only killing 1,000? You know what happens when we listen to the people's song? Is we start to think that way. We start to hear. Here's the thing. When we hear things through a third party, when it's transmitted to us through a third party, sometimes we hear it differently than if just you and I are talking. When I hear someone else saying something, sometimes that filter of that other person makes me wonder stuff. It bugs me, you know? Sometimes when the chorus of the crowd, when you're hearing that, you go, well, wait a minute, where does that come from? And what does that say about me, you know? What is that saying about me? And jealousy gets stirred up in us when we start hearing the people's song. We start to think about things. We start to wonder about stuff. Someone says, oh, that Jerry Hunt. Man, can that guy preach? You were gone on Sunday. You should have heard Jerry Hunt preach. You know what? I got to tell you something. When Jerry preaches, it's like I hear something that I've never heard before. There's a freshness and something wonderful about that. Are you getting it? And Jerry's getting it. You know? I mean, you're hearing it through another person's ears and mouth. And we go, well, okay, but what about me? You know, what do you mean? What is that about? You know, or Kim, man, when Kim sings, oh, she's got a voice, I'll tell you. And you know, we might know that to be true. I know that Jerry's a good preacher, and I know that Kim's got a beautiful voice. But sometimes when someone else says it, if for some reason it seems to be something we start to take personally. What do you really mean? What do you really mean by that? Morris, Mo, has such thick hair. Man, have you seen Mo's hair? Like, he has
the thickest and the most beautiful hair. And I go, well, what do you mean by that? What? Like, what is that subtle message? Because if you ask me, he's got way too much hair. And I have made this point before. You know? I mean, yes, his hair is fine if you like that much hair. But we do this, right? We that's how jealousy, I hope you're understanding, right? And there's some humor in this. I'm not going home and I don't have a Jerry Hunt poster on the wall that I'm throwing darts at. I saw him yesterday and sometimes I see him and he's just wearing shorts. Yesterday, at least he had pants on and he did a twirl for me and he said, don't I look great? And he had his sweatpants tucked into his socks. I think that's something God does for me so that I go, yeah, he preaches pretty good, but he doesn't have a clue how to wear clothing. You know? It's true, right? I'm only telling the truth. You can't say that this didn't happen yesterday. The point is, when we listen, when we listen to the people's song, we're hearing what they're saying out there, and we're not even filtering it or discerning it sometimes, and it can breed jealousy within us. We can look at someone else's body, and this is, I guess, you know, she's got that girlish figure. I'm not actually jealous about that, but there are some of us here who might be. She's got that beautiful figure, and she looks so good, right? And you hear other people talking. That's especially, you hear the people song. Isn't she beautiful? She's gorgeous. She's got beautiful hair. And we go, yeah. Yeah. But what about me? What about me? How come everyone makes such a big deal about her? Yeah, she's got beautiful hair, but... And then the butts come, right? But we can find the flaws. We can find them. We dig them out and we highlight them. So I want to warn you today. I want to warn you today about the people's song. You know that King Saul... That the way that the women sang this song, that David has slain his thousands, or Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000, that was actually just a parallelism in poetry, and it was completely understood by everybody, and it should have been understood by Saul, that what was really being said, this is just poetry, and this was a very common way that they would speak in those days. What they really were saying is this, that David and Saul have slain thousands upon thousands of our enemy, okay? And if you read, you probably have even a comment to that in your commentaries if you're looking at them. But it wasn't, the women did not intend to say what Saul was hearing. And I'm going to say that again so you understand that. The women did not intend to say, they were not saying, oh, look, here's Saul. He only did 1,000. And here's Tim, or here's David. He killed 10,000. That's not what they're saying. They were saying, Tim and Mitch, they killed thousands upon thousands of our enemies. That's what they're saying. But Saul, because he listened to the song of the people, because he listened to the crowd's refrain, he allowed jealousy to just build up inside of him. In Zephaniah, and I've read this a few times recently, but it's just been such a word that's come back to me over and over again. I want to just say this to you today. You know what? If you're listening to the people's song, it's time that you stop listening to the people's song and you start listening to the God who is singing over you. Listen to the song that the Lord is singing over you. Don't listen to the crowds singing, because they could be singing about all kinds of things that are not the truth. In Zephaniah chapter 3, it says this, the Lord your God is with you. Listen to this. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that great? He will rejoice over you with singing. The only song you need to listen to is the song of your Lord who is mighty to save as he sings over you. And I love that picture. I love the image of God singing over us. I love to be told that he takes great delight in me. I love to be reminded that he's mighty to save, this God. He is mighty to save. He sings over you. You don't need to worry about the people's songs. Because he lays his hand on you and he goes, be still. Be still. Be still, my daughter. Be still and know I love you. And I sing my love over you. You are precious to me. I made you in my image, and I created you to be good, to be so good. I sing because I delight in you. I sing because you are precious to me. Be still. Just trust me, my child. The only thing different is that God sings in tune. But he sings over us. And I just urge you to pray for that this week. Ask God to sing over you. Ask him to delight in you. Ask him to quiet you. You know, sometimes we need to be quieted, right? I just see God going, sometimes God going, shh. And that's all he needs to do. Shh. So, one of the ways that we fall into jealousy is when we start listening to the people's song. Don't listen to the people's song. The second way, and this also happens to be true for Saul, the second way is when we start listening to that inside voice. My wife's a teacher, and she talks to her grade 3 kids about outside voice and inside voice. I'm not talking about the quiet voice inside. I'm talking about there's a voice inside our hearts or inside our minds. And that sometimes we listen to that inside voice and it gets us into big trouble. And that the battle that we face a lot of times is a battle of the mind. That where Satan attacks us most frequently is up here. And in the mind is the battlefield where we often just let everything fall apart. And you know what I'm talking about. That the battle is in our mind. Paul says that we need to take captive every thought. Every part of our mind needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is, especially after I've heard the song of the people, as I let it play over in my mind, and that inside voice starts to take over, and I start to wonder about stuff that I shouldn't wonder about at all. And what you need to know is that your minds are not very accurate. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just the truth. You can't rely on your mind. And those of you who are getting to be my age will go, amen. Like, the older you get, I'm telling you, you can't count on your mind. You don't know. Our mind can play tricks on us. Our minds can do some, can make some great leaps in logic. It doesn't. Our minds are not necessarily logical. When something happens to us, we sometimes can play that over and over and over again in our minds to the point where what really happened isn't anything like how we're replaying it. And when we let our minds take control, or when we're controlled by the world, again, we'll talk about that in Corinthians a little bit here, but when we're not controlled by the Spirit, when our minds are not under the control of the Holy Spirit, but we're just letting our minds just go wherever they want to go, we're in big trouble, because we keep rehearsing and keep replaying whatever that hurt is, or whatever that jealousy is, or whatever we think that we have that indignation in us. And I can play this over and over again, and it's okay. And it's not okay. Because it leads us to really fall. And it leads us to jealousy. We play things over in our minds. We rehearse stuff. And you know what? Before long, we're starting to feel really sorry for ourselves. You know? Usually we put our hands in our pockets. And there isn't anybody around here that really appreciates me, you know? You play that around in your mind for a little while. I don't know what's wrong with these people. They don't appreciate me. They don't really even know me. No one's visited me for like a couple of weeks. Maybe they don't like me. I don't think they like me. I'm sure they don't like me. They don't like me at all. Why do these people hate me? What's wrong with these people? No one appreciates me, I know that for sure. I do a lot of stuff around here, you know. I do an awful lot of stuff around here. I probably do more than most people. They don't do anything. I'll stop now because I'm starting to feel bad for myself. I'm about ready to leave this place. So I hope you get it. You know, we got to watch what we're doing in our minds. We got to watch how the enemy uses our minds as his battlefield. And what we think is reality isn't reality always in our minds. It really isn't. Our mind is going to back up ourselves and our hurt feelings or our self-pity. And you know what Dave, you know what Saul said? You get it in that one passage where he hears the women singing, and then he goes, you know, the only thing, David must be after my kingdom. Did you get that when we read that? That was in his mind. That was not true in any way, shape, or form. If you read the whole passage carefully in the chapters after this, David had no intention of being king. All he wanted to do was support Saul as king. All he wanted to do was stand beside him. All he wanted to do was defend him as king. All he wanted to do was say, Saul, I'm behind you and I love you and you are the king of Israel. But Saul goes in his mind, you know, this David, he wants my throne. What else would he want but my kingdom? That's the actual words that he says. And my friends, that's what happens when we let our minds run rampant. We take illogical leaps. It doesn't matter. We start thinking things that aren't even reality. And there's some of us, I'm not going to point any fingers because it might come back to me. There's some of us lately, we've been struggling with this. There's a jealousy. You know what happens from jealousy is fear. It's one of the things that results from being jealous is that we start becoming afraid. And we see that in Saul too. He becomes afraid and it's unwarranted. He doesn't need to be afraid. I'm just asking you today to listen to God's word. Listen to what he's saying. Because if you look carefully, some of these sins have been cropping up in our lives. We've been spending too much time up here. We've been feeling sorry for ourselves. We've been thinking that we don't fit in when we do fit in. This isn't really home, or it isn't family, or that no one appreciates me. We've been listening to that inner voice when we should be only listening to the still small voice of our God. You understand? And that if you really want to know how to fight jealous eye is you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. He is the author. Yeah. He is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. Let me tell you this. Let me just read you this from Romans chapter 8. And I love these words. It says, and listen to this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Is your mind set on what the Spirit desires, or is your mind set on what the sinful nature desires? The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen? Is that something to celebrate? Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Man. Amen. Amen. I am not controlled by the sinful nature. I am not controlled. I don't live in my mind. And I am not influenced by the songs that you sing. Or at least I try not to be. Right? My mind belongs to Christ. And the Holy Spirit has control of my life. You, however, and he's pointing his finger at you and at me. You, however, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop listening to voices we should not be listening to at all. They should not be subletting of an apartment or a room in our head or in our mind. They should be evicted. They should be out of there. I'm only going to listen to you, God. I'm only going to stand on your word. This is what I know to be true, and this is all I know to be true. I am going to be led and controlled by your Spirit, not by my feelings. I'm not going to get angry or ticked off because someone seems better than me, or because people are liking someone better than me, or because the song isn't about me anymore. Man, the song used to be about me. Now it's about Len or Crystal or someone else. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. No. We are no longer led. We are no longer led by this world. We are no longer living according to the sinful nature, but we are controlled by the Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God lives in you. Amen? Amen. Stand up, Jill. Not you, Bill. Jill. Say something. Yes. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm blessed. Thank you, God. Yeah, Sonny?
Yeah, this is very real to me because I struggle with this. God has spoken very definitely.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know what? You live your own testimony. You live your own story. Don't live Jill's story. He's got to do that himself. But you walk on the road God puts you on. That's a good word. Amen. Thank you, God. Yes, Christina. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. That's right. Thank you, God. Amen.
God is good.
I'll tag team with you any day. Amen. Amen. And I've been called worse than Apollos, so thank you. Just stand up. Willie. Thank you, God. Amen. God's good. God is so good. And I just want to remind you that Saul became jealous. Then he became insecure, because that's sort of the next thing that happens. Then he became fearful. Then he became angry. And then he did everything he could to kill David. And that the very same thing was true for Jesus. The religious leaders were jealous of him. They were jealous of his popularity. They were jealous of his message. They were jealous of the things he was doing. And that jealousy led to their insecurity. They started to feel insecure. They didn't know, you know, they didn't know who even where they stood anymore. And then they became afraid of him. And then they became angry with him. And then they killed him. That's how the enemy works. But we do not live according to the standards of this world. We are led by the Spirit. Amen. Gaston, would you stand up and would you pray? Would you pray? Yeah, just pray. Yes, God. Amen. If there's something you need today and you just want someone to pray for you, maybe you're really struggling with jealousy or insecurity, fear. After we sing the song, we're going to be done and I just invite you to come for prayer. The other thing is tonight we meet at 6 o'clock. We only pray for 1 hour. We're kind of committed to that, so we know the time frame. If you want to come and you need some prayer, you need to be anointed, you just need to bring it to the Lord. You're welcome to come at 6. Why don't you stand? When the music fades, all is stripped away, I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, or a song in itself. It's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. All about you. All about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I did. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express. What you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades, all is slipped away. I simply come, longing just to breathe something that the world that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself. It's not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about,
here we go.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Lord. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. Yes, it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Lord, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
God bless you. Go in the victory of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.